produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Right now, for those that are joining us here live at the Infinity Center, we give you all the glory, Father, because we know you are right where we are. Whatever time zone we are in, we are reflecting your glory and we are reflecting the presence that is deposited right here and right now. So, Lord, just open our hearts to receive from you. Just open our minds to be renewed by you. This fresh revelation that's challenging us about the counterpart, being in the same position, reflecting and responding in the same manner, in the same place, with the same authority. We give you all the praise, Father, that as you draw us in, you enlighten us, you enlarge us. But most importantly, Father, right here and right now, you are totally refreshing, reviving, rejuvenating, and Lord, putting a fresh expression of yourself in us to move into this new season of operating in and through you. It is a pleasure to say Happy New Year. We're still in the season of January where we're wishing each other Happy New Year. And I'm just so grateful for the revelation that is in our mouth for you in this season. The counterpart, being equal with, resounding and moving in full function and unity with God. And my assignment tonight is the counterpart in the realm of worship. And let me remind you the definition of counterpart that I love. It is a person or thing that has the same position or purpose as another person or thing in a different place or organization. Where was worship first created? It was created in the heavens. And God likes to declare, as you know, you've heard us say it so many times, He declares the end at the beginning. And how do we learn about worship in the heavens, that true movement and response and reaction? We learn from it from John in the book of Revelation. At the end of the book, we learn what was happening before the book began. Oh, that is amazing. That is a revolutionary thought to get us in the process of really understanding our position and our identity in worship, our response to be in the same position at the same time. Because, you know, heaven, eternity future, and eternity past is still worshiping with us while we're here in time, reflecting the eternal things. Oh, that's a rhema in itself. But let's start with this scripture to give you the full value and the full imagination and the full revelation of what is taking place and what is still in motion today. Go with me to Revelation 4, verse 9 to 10. I'm giving it to you in a concise way because this is so impactful, and I've taught on worship in so many different facets, in so many different ways. But to speak to you like this, as worship being a counterpart, and we are that counterpart here on earth, still in movement, in motion, in reaction, in reflection to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and revealing. So Revelation 4, verse 9 to 10. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you know what they were saying, holy. One language is holy. One vocabulary is holy. Another vocabulary is blessings, glory, and honor. Another vocabulary is worthy is the Lamb. You've heard us teaching this. You've seen this, practice this in our worship. But that was eternity before time was created, before man was created. And when we talk about counterpart in this moment, in the freshness of this revelation, you have to understand that worship is an act of fellowship with God. It is the same activity taking place on the earth as it is happening in the heavens. I like that fresh visual today. As it is taking place in the heavens, the elders responded to the four beasts. You know, that is a whole teaching in itself, and I didn't want to read it because I didn't want to go into that distraction and move into that. I want to stay in this realm of the counterpart, that you understand you are walking, you are responding. Everything, David said, that hath breath, give thanks unto the Lord. Everything that moves, every creature knows how to respond to the presence of the living God. And here in the book of Revelations, we understand that each one each creative being in the heavens had their own vocabulary about how to express their revelation or their seeing of God, their movement of God. Each one had their expression to bring before him. But you can't substitute worship like that if you don't have fellowship and you don't have intimacy. You can't reflect the revelation of who he is if you don't know him, if you haven't had fellowship with him. You understand in the book of Genesis chapter 1 that he made man in his image and after his likeness. There was fellowship that took place, not just in the making of him, but in the responding of God talking to man. And that was the reflection of not just heaven on earth, but now it's a different counterpart being made. It's not the counterpart of the angels and the beast. It's the counterpart of himself, the likeness of himself, the reacting of himself with himself. And as you get a hold of that, you understand that relationship in worship and the revelation of who he is to you in worship is so important. It is the primary factor of the knowledge and responding of him. You like that? It's the primary factor of being in the full communication, the full communion, one with him in this realm of worship. Let me explain it even more to you. Go with me right now to Psalms 8, verse 3 and 5. Oh, we're talking about relationship and identity. You cannot substitute that realm of expression with anything else. What does it say? When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Ugh. Man is in constant walking with God. And David asks this as a worshiper, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You have got to be in relationship with your counterpart. Come on, somebody. You have got to be in an interactive motion with your counterpart. Who is God's counterpart right here in this, in our worship experience? You. And when you are battling with who you are and what you are, identity is solidified because you understand he comes to visit himself. Just like he did in the garden, when you're struggling with why and who am I and what's my purpose, get into that communication with God where you tell him who he is and you remind him of who he is to you, and then he tells you who you are. You know, I didn't put the scripture in, but I love what verse 5 says. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. My friend, what the angels say about God, he is glory, he is honor. That's how man got his identity in understanding, in confessing. Oh, come on. In saying it out loud. You've crowned me with glory and honor. You are the glory and the honor, but you have crowned me with counterpart. When you understand the fullness, and it is an ever-revealing process, it is an ever intimate draw into who he is. It is an intimate call into the resource of value that comes from being in the presence of God. Go with me right now to Psalms 29 and verse 2. When you know that you're crowned with glory and honor, what can you do? You can give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. You can worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, this is a song that we've sang many, many years ago. But here, I want you to understand, when I read it today, we teach here at IMM for a long time. We haven't taught it recently in our teachings on the glory. There is a glory that comes upon that comes from above. There's a glory that rises from within. And you can't give God what you don't know you have. Oh, give unto him the glory due unto his name. And you know that glory that's due unto his name because you're walking in you're walking in a percentage of it. What's another way to say that? You're walking in a measure of his glory. And to add to that measure, you've got to give him out of yourself the revelation of the glory that is due unto him. Every single one of us have a revelation of the glory of God. Every single one of us have an understanding of what glory is. It is the manifested presence. We call it the now presence of God. Out of that now presence is an administration that comes that is different to yesterday. It is different to this morning. It is different to this hour. It is different to tonight. Whatever time zone you're watching us in, this present glory was different to the glory of the Infinity Center last week. It's different to the recordings that we've done that you watched throughout the week and the week prior. There is, we believe it, we respond to it, a present glory that draws us into the who he is and who he says we are. There is that knowledge and understanding that as you worship him, let's talk about holiness for a minute. We know what the word holy means. It means to be cut and separated. It means to stand apart. It means to stand out. It means to be the creme de la creme. I was with friends recently, you can tell, right? It means the creme de la creme, the cream of the crop. It means the richness of the goodness of the Lord our God. There is a separation. There is an identity in the separation. Oh, hallelujah. I like that. There is an identity. There is a standing out when you are cut and separated. What is the state of man when he is out of the influence, out of the receptive presence of God, out of the fullness and measure of his being? You feel the anguish of being closed off from God. You feel the desperation of not knowing if he hears you. You feel the weakness and the feeling of abandonment when you know that you are away from the presence of God. Each one of us have been through that dark place. As David said, yea, though I walk through. I didn't make a camp. I didn't sit down and get comfortable. I walk through. For some of us, that process of walking through is not in a day. It's not in an hour. It is a process. It is a step each day of moving forward, progressively moving towards the goodness of God. And when I think of the goodness of God, it makes me want to say hallelujah, right? But there is a time where we know that there is a desperate cry from our innermost being. Go with me to Psalms 30, verse 2 and verse 3. David knows how to make it so clear about that cry from the depth of our being. What does he say? Oh Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go to the pit. I should not go in the grave of death, be buried in the grave of death. What are you walking through, my friend, that you feel like, I can't worship God? I don't even know if I can even call myself his counterpart. What is the depth of your cry, the depth of your sorrow that would alienate you from God? But as you read this, as you're listening to this, as you're not only seeing, but you're hearing, you're saying, Lord, in my state, you can hear me. In my rejection, you can hear me. In my pit of failure, you can hear me. What is that desperate cry that would cause you to run from God instead of running to God? I'm here to tell you tonight that no matter how desperate that cry is, recognize that a sound has to come out of you to draw God to you. Even if it's a tear, you can't even make a sound. Even if it's a tear that drops from your eye, even if it's that deep sigh in your belly that you can't even utter a word, that anguish is so deep, there's no vocabulary, but there is a sound that you can make that draws God to you. Even in despair, there is a glory still inside of you. Even in your weakness, there is still a glory that is inside of you. God is drawn to himself, and that glory inside of you, no matter how despair and dark you might feel right now, I am here to remind you, God will not let you go to the pit. He will not let you die. He will make you rise with healing and life in your tongue and in your bones. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thou hast made me alive that I should not go down to the pit. What is the state? I want to ask you again, what is the state of your desperate cry? What is the need that you have tonight that you can say, Lord, I choose to be a counterpart. I choose to be your counterpart. I choose the realm of worship. I choose the momentum of intimacy, not just once, but a continual movement, a continual reality in my life that I will worship you. I will abide in the fullness of you. Let's go to Psalms 99 and verse 5. When you know that he is kept you alive, what will you do? You will exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. What is the vocabulary in your mouth right now? For David right here is, he is holy. In another scripture prior to that, it was the glory that he knew that he had that was due unto God. It not only came from God, but it's due unto him. He will exalt. What is it? What's the phrase exalt mean? I will lift him up higher. Can I talk to somebody tonight? I will lift him up higher than my circumstance. I will lift him up higher than the struggle I am walking through. The struggle keeps me bound to the earth realm and earth sphere. But when I exalt him, I am lifting up my voice. Again, that sound that comes out of you. I am lifting up my eyes. I'm changing my viewpoint. I'm changing from what aspect I am looking at things from. Oh, that's so good. I'm changing how I speak to the thing that is standing in front of me and opposing me, because I exalt the Lord my God. And when I exalt him, he lifts me up and let me see to declare into what needs to change. Oh, I hope that is helping somebody right there. It lifts me up. I've got to say it again because it blessed me. What a rhema. He lifts me up when I exalt him so that I can see from a different viewpoint and speak into the change I am looking for. Oh my God, exalt the Lord our God. What does Psalms 5 verse 7 says? Come on, turn there with me. But as for me, oh, make a choice tonight. Make a declaration tonight. I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. How many times have you come before God? Let's be honest, have an honest moment right now. How many times have we come before God and we need his mercy? not just a little mercy, but a multitude of mercy. We need to know that He is covering everything that we can think of right now, and He can cover everything that we've held onto and cover it in His mercy. But speaking forward, He can cover what we're about to come through, and I draw on the past, the present, and the future, the multitude of His mercy concerning me. Come on, somebody. The multitude of His mercy concerning me. I give God glory. Just lift your hands right where you are and give God glory. Give Him a sound that changes the atmosphere in your environment right here and right now. Exalt the Lord your God. Exalt His greatness. Exalt His name. The phrase might be in the word holy, but what is the name that you can call God right now? I exalt Him, my shalom. Many of you need that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that heals the things that are broken, that makes you say, no, I am not a counterpart of God right now, but what He sees in your brokenness is still Himself in you. Oh, glory be to God. Give Him a worship that decrees and declares what you are stepping out of and what you are stepping into. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship You, Almighty God. We lift up Your name in the beauty of holiness. We bring our praise with on our lips to You, oh God. We speak of the goodness of God. Oh, hallelujah. We speak of the goodness, the grace and mercy of the Lord our God. Let our bones become joyful. Oh, somebody receive a healing in your body. Let your bones become joyful. Let your bones become whole. I give God praise in the beauty of holiness. And I receive the glory that transforms the sick disease cells in my body into wholeness. I receive the joy that healeth my dried bones, that healeth my scarred skin. I receive His righteousness that brings me back into right standing and right relationship with Him, that I can give Him the glory that is due unto His name. The glory that is within me rises up to give Him the glory in His presence. I speak to the aching joints of arthritis, that as you worship right here, that arthritic joint, oh, get moisture. Gets moisture in the cells and in the joints and in the bones and begin to move. Orikianda, in its original state of wholeness. I like that visual. In its original state of youthfulness. That You are the full counterpart of heaven reflected on earth. Joy unspeakable and full of glory flows into your being right now. In the name of Jesus the Christ. A new level of intimacy be birthed right there in your home. A new language language flowing out of you, a new tongue coming out of you. New level of His glory coming into your being. Oh, I will exalt the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the beauty of holiness. Oh, give Him praise right where you are. Take a moment. May this presence that's right here just flood your being. Just flood your environment. Oh, Shemba Rumumaraha. Hiki hikene ne marumonto. Baruma sheda da da da. Sidere ne moruma. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Yes, my friend, when you talk about the worship, when you talk about intimacy, you're talking about you connecting as the counterpart, equal in every aspect when you stand in His realm of worship. What does John say? If you abide in me, he's quoting Jesus, and I abide in you, that vine that connects, that vine that engrafts you in, you draw out of His presence. Ooh, shambaroma bahaki enderiki otoroda. Oh, what do you need tonight? Oh, shamamarimenene. What do you need tonight? What is the touch of His presence of worship that you need tonight? This present glory, this present moment as part of His counterpart, as part of the reflection of Him, the positioning of you in Him, oh, right here in this moment. Oh, shandara kite kite indaramaha. Oh, ndorokusha barabaha. You talk about God's presence, you cannot talk about, cannot not talk about those that are backslidden, those that have run from Him. Many of you are here, but you know of times in your lives where you've been around people. You might say, I'm not backslidden right now, Dr. Marina. But there are people around you that are backslidden. There are people around you that want to give up. They've had a hard year. Your testimony might not encourage them. Your testimony might offend them because they don't know God in that way. They haven't seen God act out for them in that way. But I want to give you this as a reminder, oh, as an instruction. Ezekiel 46, verse 3 and 4, returning unto God. And it's not just when you return unto God from a backslidden state. I want to challenge you that every time God calls you to move forward, God calls you to come up higher, when you don't come up, you are falling into a backslidden state. You are saying, I'm comfortable here, is fine. I don't need to go any further. God is always moving us from faith to faith. He's always moving us from glory to glory. There is a constant, perpetual movement with our God. He is not a historical God. He was history, but I want to tell you, He is a present God. He is the God of the now, because He told you, as He told me, when you hear His word, now faith is. It's not a past faith, it is a now faith. And I challenge you, Ezekiel 46, verse 3 and verse 4. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of His gate before the Lord in the Sabbath and in the new moons. When it talks about the new moons, it's talking about feast time. Every feast time is around harvest, and every harvest is around either a new moon or a full moon. And the burnt offering that the prince shall offer unto the Lord in the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish and a ram without blemish. God speaks when He asks for an offering. He speaks specifically. When you're returning unto Him, He speaks specifically. When it's feast offering, first fruits offering, Passover, Pentecost, and Sukkot, and all the holy days that are connected to Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah. Those are specific set offerings. When you backslide, there's an offering. When you want to increase, there's an offering. But there are set offerings in the feast, and then there's the free will offering. We don't talk much about the free will offering. And I know for many of you, January is first fruits. It is a set offering and it is a set time, but it's not the time of the full moons. It's not the time of the feast, because you understand that every new season requires a seed that speaks. And I want to challenge you as you hear this tonight, your counterpart is worship. And out of your worship and intimacy comes the identity of purpose. And out of purpose comes the resource to do what God has called you to do. And I want to challenge you to sow in the understanding of what God wants to do in and through you. I know that you've been healed, receiving out of your intimacy, out of your worship, out of your confession. I know your soul has been restored in a place that only God could get down and into. And I know there's a fresh glory upon you right here in this present and in this moment. And I challenge you, put a seed, put an offering that speaks to the counterpart that you are becoming. Put an offering that testifies of what and who God is calling and setting you apart to be. What a season, another new season to be in, where you understand you are revived, renewed, refreshed, rejuvenated as a counterpart, a fresh authority. Oh, a fresh authority to step into uncharted territories in this season. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Unfulfilled desires, I heard the Holy Spirit say, unfulfilled desires will be fulfilled this year. Start it right. As you're hearing these messages on the counterpart right here and right now, put a seed that speaks to your future. We give God all the glory. We give God all the honor. Just worship Him right here with me right now. Just worship Him. We give you praise, Almighty God, Almighty God. Father, I thank you for everyone that's watching. I thank you, Lord, for the responses that have been put in the comment section. I thank you, Lord, for the healing virtue that is physically and visibly felt and received right here. I thank you for the seeds that are being sown right now on this screen. I give you the glory, Father, because this revelation of counterpart is going to change our mindset and change our trajectory this year in what you are calling us to do and be a part of. I thank you for our partners that are consistently spreading the word about RMMTV, spreading the word about the podcast, the fresh revelations and teachings that you're receiving on the podcast. And Lord, we give you the glory because we are continually moving in your presence with your word and in your faithfulness. We bless you. We look forward to seeing you again very soon right here on RMMTV.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.